When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, and 90 Min's top cat, Toby Cudworth, in the final week of this summer's transfer window. We're on Monday. Oh, it's Tuesday. We're 3 days away from transfer deadline day, which comes on Friday at 11 p.m. UK time. I've got my days mixed up already because we've had a bank holiday. Toby, how did you enjoy your bank holiday?
Spent my bank holiday doing a bit of painting. I've just bought a house, so moving some stuff into there, slapping some paint on the walls, doing some hoovering. Yeah, doing non-football
paint.
We've gone for sage green in our kitchen, which is better than the strong red that they had before. So a non-football day for me, which was actually much needed after Monday to Sunday of going hard at it.
Let us know if you think sage green is the right choice for Toby's colour of choice. Graham, how's it going?
Yeah, all good. Not bad. Last week in the window now.
You sound enthralled, never, right?
Yeah, a bit sad. You know, I'm always sad when the transfer window comes to an end, but it's not like we stopped doing even this show. We'll be back next week when throughout the winter. We'll be back. I was a bit sad last week in the window.
We do have, we've got a lot to talk about today. We were talking before the show, and there's not really any, I don't want to put you off listening, but let's just say now we're starting to get into the final week of the transfer window, and clubs are starting to panic, and Man United are definitely starting to panic. I would think they're at the top of the bill. We've got irons in the fire. Harry Maguire, will he go to West Ham or not? We've got Ryan Gravenberch. Will he join Man United or Liverpool? Will he even leave Bayern? We'll talk about that. We'll talk Mo Salah. We'll talk Trevor Chalobah. We'll talk Conor Gallagher, Benjamin Pavard, Romelu Lukaku, Brennan Johnson, Everton's attempts to get a striker who can score more than 5 goals in a season. And we'll talk Man City's attempts to sign Mateus Nunes and also who Brighton are lining up to replace Moises Caicedo, who's gone to Chelsea for an English record fee. Now, please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms to the show and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @Toby_Cudworth, and @GrahamBailey. 90min.com for all the latest news from us. 90min.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest transfer news, and 90min_football on social media. So let's start. Graham, we had this conversation before the show started. You said Man United were god awful on Saturday, and I would be inclined to agree. But I thought, at least in comparison to some of their other performances in the first three matches, I thought at least they showed a side of they showed some recovery at least, and they did manage to come from 2-0 down. But yes, some awful football on display.
Yeah, I thought they looked like a team at an end of the season who needed a summer to get it right. And you've had the whole summer and put very little right, I thought. Boy, Onana was wholly unimpressive, I thought. And then we didn't see the rest of the new signs, did we? So what can we else? Missing Mount wasn't there and Hoyland wasn't there, so we can't criticise them for not being involved. To be fair, though, as we said on Friday, Scott, we both thought it would be a tough game for United. So 3 points is 3 points.
We did. I didn't expect that.
But, no, you know. 3 points is 3 points this league. And it shows Forrest are getting things right, and Forrest are doing a lot of good things in the transfer window as well. Andres Santos coming in, Murillo coming in from Corinthians. So Forrest are getting busy, but yeah, as we'll talk, United not as busy as Nottingham Forest, which must be a worry.
Well, United are still busy, Graham.
Yeah, to be fair, yeah. Busy in terms of more outgoings.
Panicking.
Yeah, well, Dean Henderson's finally going to go. He's having his medical at Crystal Palace, getting money in for him. Fee, which, and I think that it'll allow United to do some things, but you know, it isn't really about money for United. United can buy anyone they want, but it's in terms of getting players out, big wages off a wage bill, that's what's hampered them. And yeah, so the goalkeeping situation, we know that's going to be finalised with Dean Henderson. But it's a rest, isn't it, Scott? It's now the left back is an issue, which it looks like they will try and bring one in on loan before Friday's deadline.
Toby. Oh, Andre Onana's been included in the Cameroon squad. He's returning to the Cameroon squad, so that's something different. Anyway, Toby, let's talk left backs at Man United. Now, who's the favourite name? Like, as Graham said before the show, I'll come to Graham in a second, but who's your favourite panic left back linked with Man United over the last few days?
I think the most panic one is Marcus Alonso. Graham said pre-pod that Marcus Alonso can look world-class for about 6 weeks, and then it's the rest of the season where he looks very, very ordinary. But of course, Marcus Alonso's main positive thing is that he scores goals. He's good going forward, and that's what everybody remembers his time in the Premier League for, his ability to influence play in the final third. I'm not necessarily sure that's what United desperately need from a short-term left-back. So I think of him, Mark Cucurella and Sergio Reguilón, who have all been offered to Manchester United in the past couple of days. I think he is the most panic of those three.
Can I throw some other names at you?
Of course.
Now, not confirming these ourselves, but I think, Graham, is it fair to say that United have been offered every single left-back in the world who's relatively available?
Yes, that's what we're hearing from United. I was told more than a dozen names have been offered to United. And it's just the agents doing the job, really, isn't it? You know, one of them might come up and they think they really fancy it, you know. It's, Cucurella to Marcus Alonso. Again, I don't mind Marcus Alonso too much. Reguilón from Tottenham, who I think has got Alex Telles written all over him.
Well, they had a choice, Alex Telles or Reguilón a few years ago. And both of them were awful.
Yeah, indeed.
Anyway, so let me throw some other names in.
Spinazzola from Roma is one as well. But yeah, lots and lots.
Spinazzola, Taliafico, Ryan Bertrand at the back end of last week. Is he a free agent?
Yes.
Yeah. Still. Cucurella, Marcos Alonso, Rico Henry, Sergio Reguilón. Like we say, there's over a dozen. And a lot of this, just to kind of help you understand a little bit, United are just getting off of these. As Graham says, these are agents trying to get their clients into United, and United have a need to find a left back. Graham, you think Marcos Alonso is the best one of the bunch? What about Spinazzola?
Once you've been offered, I think the best option is Alvaro Fernandez, the young Spaniard who's currently at the club. I saw him play for Preston last year. Very solid player. Looks more than capable of playing 6 weeks in the Premier League to me, Scott. I think he looks decent. And he's one of these players, if he got a chance, he could perform well. It's a mystery to me why he's not really in the mix, but clearly the United staff see something they don't really like in him. But I think he's a ready-made option.
I think it's more about, though, that perhaps he could go somewhere else and get regular first-team football for the year instead of filling a gap for a certain amount of time and then not having any football.
But what's the greater need? If United desperately need, if they need a left back, why bring in a loan option? And I've seen Fernandez play. He's not. He could be better than all those players linked. He could be as good as. He really could, in my opinion. I don't know. They're all such a much. Every player you've named there, Scott, it's just really much of a much as, isn't it? There's not one stand. Even I thought actually when you said Ryan Bertrand, yeah, for 6 weeks he might be a nice choice for you. English solid. I
think this is Graham.
But anything you've said,
but this is Manchester United we're talking about.
Exactly, and some of the players you've mentioned there shouldn't be linked to Manchester United, as you said. I think you. And the Manchester United way would be to play one of your own, you know. But unfortunately, we've seen you've loaned Brandon Williams out, who would have been a nice option for a few weeks to Ipswich. Yeah, I think it's just this situation just sums up how the summer's gone so far, Scott, doesn't it? I think it encapsulates what's happened at Old Trafford so far.
I think one of the considerations to just add in here is that United will have two Champions League group stage games by the time Luke Shaw returns to fitness. If something happens to Diogo Dalot or Aaron Wan-Bissaka in that time, United really are short, aren't they? Because Dalot played at left back at the weekend against Forest, Wan-Bissaka on the other side. I think maybe that's where United are looking at this and thinking they can't bank on Fernandes necessarily, being a 20-year-old kid who's had one season at Preston in the Championship. I think that's why somebody like, for me, Cucurella actually would be a decent option. I think he's had a hard time of it at Chelsea, but who hasn't, to be honest, in the past 12 to 18 months? A bunch of their new signings have struggled to really fit into that project. And I do think he's a decent player. So if United could get him in short term on favourable terms, I think he is the one that I would encourage or suggest United would move for, in preference to a Marcus Alonso, who's 32. He actually played for Barcelona at the weekend, didn't he? He started in La Liga. So not actually sure whether or not Barcelona would really want to let him go. Sergio Reguilón, don't think is a great shout, as you've alluded to, Scott. United turned him down once in favour of Alex Tellez. I don't think anything has changed 3 years later that would suggest they should do anything different.
Has Mark Cucurella become a bad player over the last year, Graham?
No, I think he's not dissimilar to like Mason Mount at United, but I think it's a good player, wrong club at the wrong time. I think Cucurella came in, he was meant to be the big saviour, wasn't he? And is he out and out left back? No. Is he out and out centre half? No. I think if in a three, I think the systems, I'm not sure United would be the best place for him either, to be honest. I think he's very similar to Lisandro Martinez. But he can play left back quite well. So doing it at Brighton, but he's a bit suspect defensively, which is why he can end up playing wing back or in a back three. I don't see why Chelsea would do that deal, personally. Why would you help out a rival? But hey, stranger things have happened, especially in this window. But yeah, I don't know. If he's going to play purely left-back, maybe. But I don't see him fitting in that career, actually. I don't think it's the right one. Because you're not going to play three at the back, here, Scott? So I don't really see him there.
As Toby said there, I think it depends on the terms of the deal. And if they can get something favourable, I mean, let's be honest, I don't think at the start of the summer this was in United's plans at all, but they've had injuries to their first two choice, their top two left-backs. Diogo Dalot covered at the weekend. I know there's questions over his defensive capability as well. Naturally, a right-back really, but can play that side as well. So, Graham, with the left-back hunt, is this just a case of United going to pull the trigger this week at some point on whoever is going to get... What do they want? They want a loan, right?
Yeah, a loan or a free, and there's not many frees out there, really. Is there Bertrand, as you say? Heard the American Reggie Cannon at one point.
He's calling Bertrand?
Just trying to make him more glamorous for the United fans.
Yeah, sounds better for you, Scott. Yeah, a loan deal till January will be option. Obviously, you can't do less than that, really. So that's what they're hoping for. But, you know, they're still in the market, as we'll talk about, for a midfielder as well. So maybe a defender. Separately, they would see. They're looking for a centre half. We knew that anyway. A centre half, right back. You know, Pavard is close to Inter now. Would I be surprised if United suddenly were back on the Pavard radar? It wouldn't surprise me at all, because I think it'd be the ideal fit now, Scott. You could let him play right back, and it covers a centre as well. But would that need someone else to go? Who knows? I think United might do a couple by Friday, and probably one of them will be a left back.
Let's talk about the midfield. Is there a specific name you think is most likely at this stage, or is I'm talking about left back actually.
Yeah. Oh, for left back. Specific name. I think they'll just continue talks next 48 hours and see which one transpires to be the best deal, really. Obviously, they're talking to numerous clubs now, half a dozen clubs they're talking to, from what I'm told. So I think it'll just be whichever one. I think they'll put 2 or 3 to Ten Hag, and they'll probably say, yeah, that one. So I'd be surprised if even they knew at this very minute which one they're taking.
We'll touch on Chelsea later. Just what you said reminded me there that Mauricio Pochettino was asked in his press conference after the game against Luton on Friday night. I was in there, asked about Malang Sarr. And he appeared not to remember who Malang Sarr was, which was interesting. So maybe this is a bit of the same case for United. Anyway, let's talk midfield, Graham, because we touched on it. So what's happening here? Because we'll talk Scott McTominay in a little bit, but Pierre-Emile Højbjerg has been linked or offered to United. They've been talking about Sofyan Amrabat for what seems like 3 months. Ryan Gravenberch in the mix as well. What do they want to do here?
They do want someone else in there. We know that's undeniable. They've been talking to Amrabat's people and Fiorentina officials. They've been talking to verbally, in theory, in principle, everything's done with him. But again, that's not really put to bed, that one. Amrabat and Gravenberch is the one interesting one. They do like him. That ties in a little bit with McTominay. We saw these links to Bayern at the weekend. That came from German sources suggesting McTominay was of interest to Bayern Munich. It's been played down to us at the Manchester United end. There's anything in that. Could you see a swap? Possible, Scott. You probably have more comment than me. I could see it. But Gravenberch, is he a massive improvement on McTominay?
He's a different profile of player.
And he's one who Ten Hag knows better, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for me, wouldn't entirely surprise me, but I think if they were to do that, they'd still need another midfielder because they haven't got anybody who could defend it there, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a Liverpool angle as well. I still think Liverpool are slightly ahead in that one, between the two, but it's fascinating. And Amrabat, yeah, it's a real difficult situation to know what's going on there. And the Højbjerg one is, he wants out of Tottenham. We've seen how well they performed at the start of the season. Bissouma going so well. Matis I will talk about it later in the show. Going really well in there. Atletico Madrid have backed out of this market a little bit. We know Rodrigo De Paul isn't going to get his move to Saudi. So it doesn't look like Atletico have really got the money there. But Højbjerg, yeah, so he's looking around. His people are looking around. He's been offered to United. It's been, I think, Ten Hag's worked with before. Was it Bayern at some point?
Bayern, yes. Because it's a prerequisite that Erik ten Hag has to sign a player that he's worked with before.
Yeah, does he give some... I think he probably had a little bit to United. He's not a massive improvement, but I think he's a bit like...
Fred is better than Højbjerg. I'm sorry.
I don't think defensively, I'm not sure. I think I'd take Højbjerg over Fred defensively. Going forward, I would say Fred, but I think Højbjerg would add... I think he'd give that defensive option. He's nowhere near as good as Amrabat, obviously, but I think Højbjerg would help steal up that midfield for some of those trickier European away games. But I'm not saying he should sign him. I don't think he should.
How exciting.
It's an interesting one. Unless it was a loan deal, I couldn't see it.
I'll come to you in a second, Toby. Amrabat, what is happening? Or nothing?
Yeah, he isn't playing, he isn't featuring, and so anyone who suggests that there isn't anything in this, if there wasn't anything in it, he would be playing for Fiorentina now. Fiorentina know there's something in it, that's why they're not making him play. They know it's there. It could be done. If United rang up this morning, it could be done by this afternoon. The terms are there for player and club. We know it. But United just haven't, obviously they're not willing to tread on this FFP line, Scotty. That's what seems to be the issue. They can't get more wages in. Van der Beek, I think, is the real blockage here. He still hasn't gone to Sociedad. You could argue how much do United really want Amrabat, although United would argue they don't really want to loan Van der Beek, sign Amrabat permanently, and then be left with Van der Beek again next year. So I think that's where United are coming out from, because loaning out Van der Beek gets him off a wage bill for a year, but doesn't get him off permanently, which is why they want the option. But
you'd have to rely on that deal going well and him not getting injured, really.
Exactly. That's a bit of a risk, isn't it? And is it a risk United are willing to take? Clearly not at the minute, Scott.
Toby, let's do Irons in the Fire, Harry Maguire edition. Where are we standing with this? Because obviously we reported over the last few days that there was interest from West Ham on loan. Table-topping West Ham, by the way. Give us a word on West Ham and their good start to the season. My pick as David Moyes being the first manager out, I think is, I think that's gone up in flames. But do they still want Harry Maguire, and will they get Harry Maguire?
Firstly, on West Ham's performances, I think we're all surprised by how well West Ham have started. They've had a very chaotic summer and started the month having not signed a senior player. But the three players that they've now brought in, Alvarez, Ward-Prowse, Mohamed Kudus from Ajax, three really, really good players. And Edson Alvarez started his first game for West Ham at the weekend, looked good. Ward-Prowse has made an instant impact. West Ham just look good in the shape at the moment, and I actually said I could see West Ham picking up no points from their first six games, such was the run of fixtures they had. To have 7 points after three games and to have topped the table at one point, incredible start. As you say, I think that secured David Moyes' position completely. And it's going to be exciting now to see how their new signings actually bed in and integrate with the style of football that he wants to play. In regards to Harry Maguire, West Ham's interest, we've said it all along that this deal could come back around in some way, shape or form. Originally, it was a permanent deal that West Ham wanted and United obviously wanted as well. But the issue there was the severance package between Maguire and Manchester United. West Ham have basically reached out and said, look, the offer to take him is still on the table, but it's now in the form of a loan deal. West Ham have signed Konstantinos Mavropanos from Stuttgart in the meantime. So they've got a lot of centre-backs. And the Maguire deal is not one that they absolutely need. It could also be dependent on Thilo Kehrer moving out of the club. We understand Bayern Munich have got a bit of an interest in him and maybe some others. So Maguire, I don't think will happen, Scott, is the honest answer. I think West Ham are saying we'd take him, but United aren't in a position to let Harry Maguire go on loan, really. I don't think there's any benefit for them there. And they would certainly need to bring in another centre-back, a good quality centre-back, to allow him to leave. And what, with 3 days to go, we're talking about central midfield.
Takes them 6 weeks to get one transfer done.
Absolutely. So I don't think this is a runner. Rafael Varane also went off at half-time, didn't he? Unclear whether or not his injury scare is anything substantial. So,
but that's always around the corner.
Yes, it is. And I think that's another factor in this, isn't it? United were happy to sell permanently if they were going to be able to bring somebody in permanently and it would be like for like. Now the circumstances have changed. So I would envisage Maguire staying unless something catastrophic happens between now and Friday's deadline.
Yeah, I think it's any exit for Maguire, really. You know, United have... How many centre-backs do they have? They have Martinez, who doesn't look fit. They have Luke Shaw, who covers, who is injured. Cucurella could play there, actually, if they were to sign him. But then you've got Harry Maguire and a half-fit Rafa Varane, who is injured at the moment. You don't have too many options in this, so I think loaning out Harry Maguire would be mean that United need to go and sign somebody else, and whether that's Cucurella or somebody else. I don't know, maybe that makes it possible. But we'll see. Tell us more, Toby, on West Ham. A word on Mohamed Kudus has signed. I'm guessing you're delighted with that.
Very much so. Not a transfer I actually thought West Ham could get over the line. We'd said all summer long, really, that Chelsea, Arsenal were interested, even Manchester United interested. It felt like a bigger club was going to be coming in for Mohamed Kudus at some point. Brighton had a bid accepted, as we know. But West Ham worked really hard on this deal. Tim Steeden, credit to him, flew out to personally hold talks with Ajax officials in the aftermath of their Europa League playoff game. And by all accounts, I think he's convinced the player to make the move. He sold the project of what West Ham are trying to do. Edson Alvarez joining from Ajax has probably helped in that regard. So a super signing and hopefully one that works out for West Ham. In terms of the deal itself, €44.5 million all in, which is around €38 million, I think represents really good value for West Ham because they should make a profit for a potential sale in the future with that. I think this player is good enough to absolutely improve. He's only 23 and has got some star qualities about him. So another good deal for West Ham now and also potentially in the future if somebody comes calling. They're not done though, Scott, West Ham. They need another forward. So Yuri Alberto is one player over in Brazil who West Ham are trying to sign. We understand that West Ham's first bid has been turned down by Corinthians. They don't really want to sell him, but West Ham do need another forward. Got Antonio, whose future is still uncertain despite his hot start to the season. They've got Danny Ings, who we're going to talk about later in the show, could also be leaving West Ham. And that's it, really. So West Ham need another striker. And still potential movement as well at left back for them. Seems to be the hot topic of the league, doesn't it? Everybody needs a left back. But Aaron Cresswell, still not in the picture for West Ham. So if he goes, somebody's going to need to come in from that point of view.
Graham, Jesse Lingard, anything you can tell us on him?
Yeah, well, he's training West Ham and it's a club he knows. It's a manager he knows well. doesn't have to be done by Friday, which is his advantage. He's happy in London. I think a happy Lingard is the key to him still playing. And it doesn't surprise me that it's our understanding that West Ham are considering offering him a deal. I think maybe until January with option further, but you know, he's still only 30. He's got not had a career where he's been playing 30 games a season for 10 years, has he? So still, I think there's still quite a bit of tread on the tyres here. So it was West Ham's, what, player of the year 3-4 years ago, Toby, was it? Not that long ago.
During COVID. It feels like that long ago, doesn't it? It was actually during COVID, wasn't it, that Jesse Lingard was with us? But yeah, I think, yeah, as you say,
2021, Graham, yeah, 2021.
Yeah, it's like, quite recent.
Virtually your best player then. So I think this could be an absolute bargain for West Ham. I think it's a no-brainer. I said, if you can make Lingard happy and he knows David Moyes, I think it's a nice little pickup, actually.
It's funny, actually, because you mentioned COVID there, and I happened to see the other day Manuel Lanzini's last-minute goal at Spurs. Remember that one, Toby, I'm sure. And that was in an empty stadium. And going back to that now, it's so weird. Like, the lack of noise in the ground, and just like you hearing a few people screaming, hearing the players screaming, is just like really, really weird. What a time that was. Anyway, let's move to... That's West Ham done. Let's move to Liverpool. We've mentioned Ryan Gravenberch.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Already, what will Liverpool do something this week, Graham? That is the one involving Mo Salah.
Yeah, the worst midfielder in, you know, and they're quite happy with Endo, actually, as his holding player. So I think that's why everything's pointing towards Gravenberch. We've said this on the show for a few weeks now. Keep an eye on him. We've always heard his name. We've always heard from sources that Gravenberch was a target, and it remains so. We know that Bayern are looking to bring people in. He's not part of Thomas Tuchel's plans. The player really wants this move. So, yeah, I think it's heading. I think Gravenberch will be in England by Friday, and I make Liverpool firm favourites at the minute.
What about Doucouré from Palace?
Yeah, he's expensive. He's a lot. And Liverpool, well, back and forth on this. They don't want to overpay for anyone. Palace are not in a hurry to sell, even at 60, 70 million. You know, are they going to spend that much on him? I think if they were going to do that, they'd have already put their bid in by now. Never say never, but I think Gravenberch is more likely. I think that deal, the way, you know, he's, what would he cost? Nearly a quarter of Doucouré. This is this Premier League tax that we talk about, Toby, isn't it? Gravenberch could be a quarter of the price. So I think that, you know, even if you've got the money, that means bargain, doesn't it? And I think Gravenberch is a player who they've liked. He's a player who they've chased for a long time. Doucouré, I like Doucouré, but that's an awful lot of money. I don't see Liverpool doing that by Friday, personally.
Now, let's talk Mo Salah, because we led the show last week with the bid from Saudi Arabia for Mo Salah. Liverpool's position is, we do not want to sell. Is that regardless of the amount of money you offer us? How do you rate the chances of that deal happening this week, Graham? Because, I mean, it will be a massive surprise. It will also be, I know Liverpool have a lot of firepower, but this would be a shock, wouldn't it? Do you think it's, can we write this one off before the window closes?
I think so. Obviously, it's fascinating that the Saudi window's open for another 2 weeks. So even after Friday, we can still talk about it for another couple of weeks, Scott. So I think Jurgen Klopp will be getting very annoyed in the coming weeks, because even when that window is shut, I don't think this link is going to go away on Friday, Scott. I think it's going to continue. And yeah, Al Ittihad, they've obviously made the approach to Liverpool verbally, etc. I don't see it, but if they went and put £120 million on the table, FSG, as Toby said last one, 31-year-old Salah Blaset. It'd be interesting, I think. I don't think it'd happen, but I think I don't think they'd reject it out of hand straight away. I think they'd take a few minutes thinking about it, because that'd be a lot of money. But yeah, we expect if and when they've said they will offer them a club record deal in their talks. The talks haven't gone very far. I don't think it's going to happen, Scott, but I said I still think it's got a little bit of legs left in it, this one, because of that extra few weeks of the window.
Yeah, Jurgen Klopp, Toby, has gone on record as a number of times, actually, and recently as well, saying, was it Klopp? Saying that it's essentially not fair that transfer windows exist.
Yeah, Arteta said something at the weekend, didn't he?
Arteta said those exact words, it's not fair. Klopp has said similar sentiments. I think he's asked for parity across all the transfer windows in the past. I agree with Graham. I don't see this happening before English players can stop buying players. I think if this deal is still on the table early next summer, Liverpool should look to take it and reinvest the money in, because we're talking about, what, £130 million-ish. They could get two really, really good players for that, replacing Salah, but also filling another position. So financially, I think it would be an absolute no-brainer in 9 months. And as Graham says, I don't think it would be immediately rejected now. They would turn it down, but they would think, oh, should we? Obviously, they won't, but yeah.
Do you think Darwin Nunez is both goals coming from Matt Salah's side? It was that Salah side both goals came, wasn't it? Did that might get
Salah thinking? Assist him?
He did.
He will have done. But it was that side, wasn't it? It was from that side, wasn't it? So, yeah, fascinating. I said, Scott, I don't see it, but hey, I said, I don't think it's the last time we're going to talk about him.
Let's talk about Bayern Munich. We've mentioned Ryan Gravenberch already a couple of times, so we don't need to touch on that. But what are Bayern planning? We've mentioned Pavard already, Graham. Looking likely that'll get done to Inter. I know you can't rule United out yet yourself. But they still need... Well, they need a replacement for Pavard if he's to go. And they're also looking for a number six. We've mentioned Scott McTominay earlier in the show. That's been denied on United's end, but the noise has been coming from Bayern's end. They've also been linked with a couple of Chelsea players as well. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, they're in talks at the moment as we stand to sign Trevor Chalobah, player who Tuchel knows well, likes him, can play centre half, can also play that midfield role as well. So, you know, he was number six originally, wasn't he, when he came through the ranks, similar to his brother Nathaniel. So I think it's an interesting one where I think if they got Trevor Chalobah, does that help? I think that helps cover the six. They're not as desperate then. They probably want another one, but wouldn't need to. So yeah, we're talking over a deal here. Chelsea want a permanent or a loan with an obligation. We seem to talk about this with every single transfer, don't we? Bayern want to do it with a loan with an option. So that's where we are at the moment. Two clubs are talking. Tuchel, it's our understanding he has spoken to Chalobah about the move. The player wants to make the move. This one could happen. It really could. I think they like him a lot. Bayern have options. Toby said previously, Tilo Kehrer at West Ham's an option. Belakachup at Southampton's an option as well, although Dortmund like him. So, yeah, this one has got a good chance happening, I believe. Chelsea are willing to let him go. I think, you know, Bayern won't overpay, but I think Chelsea won't disagree. It's part of the deal. Fascinating, yeah. So second Englishman on his way to Bayern, quite possibly. A third one who Bayern have inquired about, Conor Gallagher. A player that I've liked before. We know Tuchel likes him a lot. But as it stands, Conor Gallagher's staying put. And it's our understanding that Chelsea are going to look to offer him a new deal, Scott. If he's still there on Friday, I think his deal is 2025. Conor Gallagher, soon they want players who are committed long term. Gallagher's played well under Pochettino. I think he's one of the standout performers for him, along with Raheem Sterling. And yeah, it could all be kiss and make up. We thought Gallagher's Chelsea career was coming to an end, but suddenly he might get a new deal and he's firmly in the mix. And he's a happy Gallagher, so I think he's going to be in England reckoning for sure. So yeah, but Bayern have been told, yeah, that's not an option for them to get Gallagher. But they asked about it, they inquired. If you don't ask, you don't get. But in terms of Chalobah, yeah, I think that's got a real chance happening by Friday. And it will cut.
England reckoning.
For Gallagher. Gallagher, not Chalobah. Sorry.
Play a few games, play for England. Anyway.
It's all it takes, Scott. It's all it takes. It's just going to ask, is Conor Gallagher going to sign a new 8-year contract?
Not even that. Look at Calvin Phillips, not even that.
It's true.
Right. What about... Well, we're talking a bit of Chelsea there and potential exits. Romelu Lukaku's exit, Graham, is sealed? For now, at least. Where's he going?
Yeah, Roma. Roma wants him. The big breakthrough over this, you know, the two clubs are still hammering out the loan deal now. Chelsea wanted 9, Roma offered about 4.5. It's going to get down in the middle somewhere, about 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there. The main issue here was his wages. Chelsea didn't really want to pay for him, but Lukaku, from our understanding, he's agreed to take 2/3 of his wage to move to the Eternal City to play for Jose Mourinho again. And that's been the big breakthrough over the weekend, is the fact that he's agreed personal terms. Chelsea didn't have to pay a lot on that. So, yeah, this one's getting done. Yeah, Lukaku, unless there's any late hiccups, the two clubs are not a million miles away over the loan fee. This one, Romelu Lukaku is heading back to Serie A, but it's with Roma, who have been looking for a striker. We tried for Duvan Zapata, didn't happen. Obviously, they need someone to stand in for Tammy Abraham, who isn't back until the new year with his serious knee injury. So, another Chelsea man replacing a former Chelsea man.
Another partnership, Toby. Jose Mourinho and Romelu Lukaku. We've seen it before.
Loves a reunion, doesn't he, Jose? I think Lukaku will do well there, providing he can get fit. Play some regular games. I still think it's a shame that it's not worked out at Chelsea. I just like Lukaku as a player. I think when he's at
his absolute best. Toby, do you remember the discourse when he signed and he scored 2 goals at Arsenal, I think it was, and Lukaku's going to fire... What's that?
That link with Kai Havertz in that Arsenal game was phenomenal. I remember that season in my predictions, I had Havertz to be like the player of the year. But that link, it was at Anfield, wasn't it, where... was it Anfield or was it Arsenal? Where they had that link up between the two of them was remarkable. They looked so good.
Yeah, it was at the Emirates, wasn't it? I think Lukaku scored twice on his debut. Just looked really strong. We've seen what he can do in the Premier League over the years. And me and Scott were a big advocate for Lukaku a few years ago when he was getting slated towards the end of his Manchester United career. He's got his flaws. Of course he does. And I think he said some ill-advised things. But I think Chelsea... moving forward, just looking at their forward options now for between now and January. Nicholas Jackson, I think the jury is still out on him. Opened his account for the club against Luton, but let's be honest, that's Luton. And then
the fact that he scored one, he should get a minus one for that. He should 2 was the bare minimum, as we said, Scott and Fry, was 2 was the bare minimum for Nicholas Jackson, I think.
They've got him, they've got Armando Broja, they've got Mason Burstow, who's come on in the last couple of games for Chelsea. They're light, but interestingly, Mauricio Pochettino said they didn't really have an interest in getting a number 9. He's more into a fluid forward, isn't he? Who can play, I think he's got a bit of pace to stretch the game, versatile, can play multiple positions. That's the profile of player he wants rather than a traditional number 9.
Yeah, he did confirm that after the game against Luton. I was in his press conference and he said he was asked directly if it's, do you want a number 9? And he kind of gave the answer of somebody who can play in multiple positions, can play at number 10, can play on the right-hand side, can play through the middle if needed. And it appears that Chelsea will not be signing an out-and-out number 9. According to Pochettino anyway, obviously it is Chelsea. You can never rule anything out. But we'll see what Chelsea do in the next few days. I'm sure they'll get someone in. It's likely they'll get someone in, Graham, right?
Yeah, so a message out from an agent. Likely
Chelsea will get someone in, right?
they're trying. I don't think it's a guarantee from what we're hearing. The João Félix link won't go away again. See him possibly returning, you know. Barcelona are doing João Cancelo as we talk. That's the one that still isn't quite done and dusted yet, despite some reports that he hasn't been given permission to travel there yet. So... it wouldn't surprise me if on Friday we saw something last minute. Could João Félix return to Chelsea? He enjoyed his time there. He's very similar to that description you sent. I think he enjoyed his time.
No, I'm sure he loved that.
I enjoyed playing new club. I think London, I'm told he did enjoy his time there. In Chelsea,
making a joke at Chelsea's expense for finishing 12th.
But... they were ready to do that deal as well, so it wouldn't surprise me if his name came back up. But he does want that Barcelona move, clearly. You know, we've seen the links with Rafinha and Torres again. I don't think that's going to happen. Torres is back in the mix now. Rafinha's former agent is in charge of the club now, literally, so he won't be leaving Barcelona. Ansu Fati, and we know Ansu Fati doesn't want to leave. Yeah, I don't think Chelsea are done yet. I think we'll see a few more links over the coming days. But yeah, with, as Toby said, with Armando Broja coming back, it's a strange one. I think they are massively lacking in that area, though. They really are. I think it's a huge mistake.
Let's move across London to Tottenham. Pap Sarr, potential new Spurs deal, which could open the door for Emil Højbjerg to leave. We've talked about Højbjerg already. Will Spurs spend money on Brennan Johnson before the window closes, Graham?
They're going to do some things. I said that we understand the new deal is close for or is in discussions with Matissa. Had a wonderful start to the season. I said pre-show, I don't think there's many better Premier League midfielders at the moment than him on form. He's having a wonderful time of it in the Spurs fans. I think I'll be very happy to know that he's in discussion. He's set to be in discussions for a new deal. Brennan Johnson, I think they might spend the money. There is talk of players going in the opposite direction. There's players who Forest like Reguilon, like Davinson Sanchez. Obviously, they're signing Murillo, the centre-half of Corinthians, so whether they want Sanchez as well. It's a fascinating one. There are players at Spurs who Forest would like. So, yeah, I think there's something could happen there. Value of 50 million. I think in the current market, that's about right. In the Premier League market for a Premier League-based player, it probably is about right. He's had a good start of the season. Are we surprised that Chelsea haven't come in yet? He's one who, again, it wouldn't surprise us, Scott, if Chelsea came in, because the type of player that you talked about there, what Pochettino wanted, almost encapsulates what Brennan Johnson is, isn't he? So they could play across the front as front. So it wouldn't surprise me if they came in a battle. But it's our understanding that Johnson would prefer a move to Tottenham. That's what we understand. And yeah, I think this has got a fair chance of happening, this one. The player's keen. He's not agitating for a move, but I think he really likes what's happening at Tottenham. I think he'd be a good fit. So, yeah, Spurs are progressing with this one.
Do you think that's the right fit for Spurs, Tobe?
I don't hate it, particularly the way Spurs are playing now. Quite disappointing from my personal perspective to see Spurs playing so well in the early weeks of the season. I obviously predicted them to come eighth, I think, in the table, thinking it wouldn't.
So did Graham, no matter what he says.
Fourth place. Let's read that 90-min preview, shall we, chaps?
They're not gonna have it all their own way this season, but
Graham
the early
did also,
signs
also
are good.
Predict Kai Havertz to be player of the year a few years ago, as he's just admitted.
Himself in it there. Spurs playing well. Brennan Johnson, I think, would suit this style of play. I think it'd be a good option for Spurs to have on the right. Kulusevski's obviously playing himself into a bit of form in the first couple of weeks of the season, which is encouraging. But I think Spurs do lack a second option on that side. And I think Brennan Johnson would add really good depth for them. Obviously, no European football this season. So if anything, it would really strengthen Spurs' Premier League cause. And you could really see them pushing for a top six, maybe top five, top four finish if they carry on with the momentum. And Brennan Johnson, I think, is he too big for Forest? I don't know. I think his ceiling is certainly higher than what Forest can maybe offer him moving forward. So it would be a good deal for him. Is it the right time? Maybe could do with another season in the top flight, but you have to take your opportunity, don't you, when it comes around. So I think, as Graham says, the value as well, 50 million is not too out of sync with how the British market is. Probably be half that figure if Johnson was playing abroad, but decent deal for Spurs if they go ahead with it and if they can prize him away.
Is Eric Dier going to leave Spurs before the window closes, Graham?
No, doesn't appear so. He has. It's our understanding that Spurs are still trying to sign Tosin Adebayo, who Monaco like as well. Tosin, he's in the sights of Spurs. And wasn't really an exchange deal, but during these talks, Spurs offered Eric Dier to Fulham. But unfortunately for Fulham, Eric Dier's not keen. He doesn't want to move. He's only got a year left, Eric Dier. He's a clever lad. And so he's weighing up his options. So it doesn't look as if he's going to go. He's got a lot of options abroad, Eric Dier. I think he said before, hasn't he, that he wants to play back abroad. He came through with Sporting System, didn't he? And he's bilingual. I'm doing a disservice there. He's probably more than that. So I know he's staying put until January at least, Scott, and then he'll look at his options out there. I think he won't be short of a few options out there. He's got a very good CV. Obviously, doesn't fit into Spurs' system as is, but
Man United are looking for a defensive midfielder.
and also looking for someone who could play left back as well, Scott. Oh, that ticks a lot of boxes.
Oh, wow. We'll see. Anyway, let's talk about Everton. I'll come back to you, Graham, now. Everton losing that game to Wolves, which you talked up as being... Did you talk it up the other day as being like a game to watch from the weekend? Not for the good reasons, but obviously I did catch the match of the day highlights of it. And obviously Sasa Kalajdzic, who is was signed last year, got an injury in his first game, right?
Yeah.
Making the decisive move. Will Everton sign a player to get them goals or two?
Well, I forgot about Kalajdzic. I must admit, I forgot about Kalajdzic. It's what I told you at the weekend. I forgot he was there. And he was like a £20-30 million signing, wasn't he? And came on, scored. And yeah, I did predict on the show, I think, that Wolves would win that game. And because I think Everton will be down by Easter. There's a chance that there won't be because they're trying to get deals done. Beto is coming in from Udinese. Udinese have accepted Everton's proposals. It's a £25 million deal, but the payment plan is quite generous to Everton, we believe, which is why he's coming in. 25-year-old. He's been linked for a long time. Toby knows all about him. He's been linked to West Ham for a long time. Big target, man. Looks like he suits Daesh. Is this enough to keep Everton up? Not for me, unless he's playing centre-half to replace Tarkowski, who was absolutely horrendous at the weekend, even worse than I predicted. I think this is the worst standard Premier League we've seen in many a year, guys. I really do. And... I think the bottom three will be done by Easter. But no, he could score them goals. But if Everton defend like that, they're not planning to bring a centre half, and they're not going to do anything. So, Beto's coming in though. So it is some good news for them. But we do understand the move for Damari Gray is off at the minute. Al Shabaab have had a takeover or a new board, and they're not going to approve that deal. But also Danny Ings of West Ham fame being linked to Everton, which it's the most, along with Everton link of the window. So they might try and bring Danny Ings in. It's going to be a scrap from now to the end of the season for Everton, yeah. But Beto will help. I think he's actually a good player, and he should suit the way Everton play.
Danny Ings leaving West Ham, Toby?
Not massively surprised. Came in a January transfer window, obviously, when West Ham needed to score goals. But even then, he didn't get a regular gig under David Moyes. And I don't want to say that was a panic signing, but it was very much a, Christ, we got to do something signing from West Ham. But long term, he doesn't really fit West Ham's counter-attacking style of play. He hasn't got the burst of pace that he once had. So I think it would make sense for Danny Ings to look to move on for regular opportunities, although... Unless Everton are going to change formation and play 4-4-2, he might be in the same situation at Goodison Park where he's been tasked with coming off the bench to make an impact. But he's not going to play for West Ham, put it that way. Mikel Antonio has got the starting role nailed down in the first few weeks of the season. And even if he ends up leaving to go to Saudi or anywhere else, West Ham clearly don't see the future with Ings at the top.
Right, we'll round off the show with a couple of midfield signings. One is Brighton are closing in, medical being undertaken, or has been undertaken, by Carlos Baleba, Graham.
Yeah, he arrived on Monday by Eurostar into London. Then went to Brighton, had his medical, so was his form by people near to him. That one should be announced today. Might even be by the time people are listening to this, he will be a Brighton player. He's a Moses Caicedo replacement, £25 million. One of the best young midfielders in Ligue 1 last season. I think this is a wonderful pickup. I do. We revealed in March time about Brighton when we're looking at him, but as were United, Liverpool, a lot of clubs, Newcastle. But I think, yeah, another great pickup by Brighton.
And Mateus Nunes, final story of the day. Will Man City get him, Graham, from Wolves before the window closes? Not in the Wolves squad for the EFL Cup.
It looks likely. Talks are ongoing. From what we understand from the City end, they don't really want to pay £60 million for him. They don't value him that high, which is what Wolves do. But there's a chink of light here for City that Wolves are willing to take players in exchange. It's an interesting option. James McAtee, who is a player that Pep Guardiola likes, might not be a permanent one, but could go on loan to Wolves, possibly. I think they want to keep him, but there's a lot of clubs in for him. And also Tommy Doyle, both of those players were at Sheffield United together. He's more of a defensive midfielder, but very good. So I think if one or both of those players are involved in the deal, it could help smooth it over, is our understanding. So, yeah, I think Matheus Nunes is likely. Yeah, he wants to move. I think he's not training. He's agitating for this move now, isn't he? And he's got Jorge Mendes working hard on his behalf to get the deal done. So, yeah, I do expect this one to get done. But I think it may need a player in exchange to do it.
Just seen Matheus Nunes will not be involved in Wolves' Carabao Cup game against Blackpool, which I don't think is any surprise given he's not been training with them. So perhaps wouldn't have expected to play tonight. But I think that's another indication that he clearly wants the move and that City are going to push to get this deal done. It's a bit uninspiring for me, I must say. But I think I feel that way with most Manchester City deals, to be honest, because their squad is so damn good anyway that I just think they don't need another player. But Nunes,
not good news. Not good news for Calvin Phillips, guys.
Could he leave before the window closes?
City would be happy to him go. I'm surprised. And I know he's one who Bayern Munich looked at as well, but Phillips doesn't want to go.
Interesting. Maybe Man United should go and ask Man City for Calvin Phillips on loan.
He's Leeds, so he wouldn't play. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that move.
You'd also need your players to be fit and available, Scott, and I'm not sure Calvin Phillips would give you that.
But United like signing injured players, so, you know, might fit the bill. Anyway, that's it for talking transfers for today. Any final words, Toby?
No, nothing.
Nothing? I was going to ask you, will there be a surprise transfer before the end of the window? But, we could have some silence time there. So I think it might be just a little bit too difficult. But does Graham have something?
Surprise one. And keep nine Ansu Fati maybe for the Premier League.
Okay. Interesting. All right. We'll leave it there. Anyway, if you think that there's going to be a surprise transfer before the window closes, get in touch with us. We are on X or Twitter or whatever you call it, at @_ScottSaunders, @Toby_Cudworth, and @GrahamBailey. Nightymin.com for all the latest from us. Nightymin.com/talkingtransfers for all the latest transfer news, and Nightymin_football on social media. From Scott, Toby, and Graham, we'll see you later this week for the final talking transfers of this transfer window. But as Graham said earlier in the show, we'll be back throughout the autumn and throughout the winter as well, because despite the fact the transfer window is closing this week, clubs will always be planning ahead, always be looking to set deals up for the transfer window that's coming up. And obviously, there's still going to be plenty to talk about. So thanks for listening today, everyone. This has been Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network, and we'll see you soon.